Well, I think we have Senator Bozeman on the line right now. And good morning, Senator Bozeman. How are you, sir?
Good, and thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it. A lot of stuff going on right now, and I can't think of a time in my life that people have been more interested in what's going on in Washington, and in some cases, more disgusted with what's going on in Washington right now. And there's so many things we want to talk to you about. I understand we've got about 20 minutes this morning, so let's get started, and let's just talk about. I want to talk about some specific things: the tax overhaul and the budget, and the American Jobs Act and the economy, and a lot of things like that. But what's Congress going to be focusing on in the coming days, weeks, and months?
Well, I think some of the biggest things are the economy and trying to get our budget straight. You know, we have the beginning of the new budget starts in October. The federal government doesn't run from January till the end of the year, but starts in October. And yet here it is, almost October. We have a business that is about a $3.5 trillion enterprise, and yet we don't have a budget and probably won't have a budget, you know, for a couple months. So this is certainly not the way to run things. It's one of the reasons that we're in the state that we're in, and so we're going to be focusing a lot on that. I think it's been, probably 800 and some odd days that the Senate has adopted a budget. And so, again, we're going to work really hard to try and move that forward. You have the super committee meeting, you know, trying to do their work. The way that that works is that they will be getting information from all of the committees as to where we can cut back. And so, I'm working with the Ag Committee and the Commerce Committee and the Public Works Committee to see how we can come up with cost savings so that we can report back to the committee as they do their work.
Let's talk about the president's so-called jobs bill, and I say so-called because it makes absolutely no sense to me in simple economic terms. At all. The only jobs I see that it's going to create are jobs that are going to be paid with taxpayer dollars. And when the roads are fixed, the jobs are going to go away, except for we're going to spend another $417 billion or whatever it is on this thing. I just, to me, Senator Bozeman, as a simple economist, I cannot see how anybody can buy into that particular proposal. In fact, calling it a jobs bill is kind of a direct affront at the word jobs, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. You know, this is stimulus two, and we saw the result of the first stimulus. Almost $1 trillion was spent with very, very little to show for. What most of this money will be spent on is not really infrastructure. Some on infrastructure. At least, you know, when you complete an infrastructure project, a road, then you have economic opportunity that comes after that. But a great deal of this money is just going to be sent to the states, states that are bankrupt, states that haven't done a good job of you know, using their resources like they should, so that they can keep teachers and policemen and things like that working. The problem is once we cut that flow of money off, just like last time, the same thing was done in the last stimulus, as you cut that flow of money off, then the jobs go away. There's no, as you said, you know, it makes no sense. And so I think that the way that you create jobs is reducing regulation. Right now, a tremendous amount of regulation coming out of Washington. You empower small business, particularly small business. That's the backbone of our economy, business in general. But the way you do that is helping them. You know, you get an energy policy, reduce the cost of energy, which is really hurting all of us as individuals and businesses. You get some stability so that they have the confidence to go out and start hiring people again. Right now, with Obamacare hanging over their heads, not knowing what these significant mandates are going to be as far as the health care costs are going to pay. All of these things are job killers. But that's the real way to get the economy going again, is to get some confidence back in it.
While we're on the subject of jobs, this past Thursday, the House, with the support of all the Arkansas House members, passed the Protecting Jobs from Government Interference Act. Tell us a little bit about that. I think the intention is to prevent the National Labor Relations Board from dictating the location of American jobs.
Yes, sir. What happened was, and I'm sure many of your listeners are aware that a few months ago, the National Labor Relations Board ruled that Boeing, who was located in Seattle, in Washington, could not open. And this was a plant that was essentially finished. They ruled that they could not open a plant in Carolina because it was a right-to-work state, and that Boeing was just doing that to punish the union in Seattle. And so, this is not the America that we live in. Corporations have the ability to essentially, if you want to build a factory and start hiring people wherever you want to build it, you can do that. And so this was just a payback or a trying to pay back to big labor, organized labor through the Obama administration. And so what this bill said was no. This is America. You can't do those kind of things. Businesses have the right to locate wherever they want to do. And so we're trying to push back against this great example of how out of control these various agencies are. We're seeing this sort of thing with the National Labor Relations Board. We're seeing the same thing with the EPA. We saw it with the president himself, with the czar situation, where in order to circumvent the authority of Congress and have key people in place, he circumvented the process where the Senate has the right to evaluate those people and vote on them. So it's all of these kind of things. But this was a law intended to try and prevent the National Labor Relations Board from doing this.
Well, one of the things it seems to me like that the jobs thing, if we actually do the things that are necessary to fix it, is going to shake things up a bit. I mean, it seems to me like what we have to do is, NAFTA was supposedly the free trade agreement, but what happens is that we are not. You can't have free trade without an equal playing field. And the United States, because of our regulations, because of our corporate tax code, because of minimum wage, because of all of these things, there's no way that that corporations who are capitalist by nature are going to create jobs here when they can make a much larger profit by doing it someplace else. And they're not going to invest money here because they can't get a return on it. It seems to me like the solution to this thing is very simple. Now, it's not going to be popular in the world. It's certainly not going to be popular with labor unions. But I see no other way to create real jobs without actually doing something about those issues that I just outlined there. I hear no talk at all in Washington from anybody about doing those things.
Well, we need to get rid of the unnecessary regulation, and certainly, we need some regulation to make sure that that the consumers are protected, that workers are protected. But we've gone the other way now. We're so overregulated, and what that does is drive up cost. We also need cheap energy to be able to compete. We're a nation that's blessed with tremendous resources. I'm kind of a T. Boone Pickens guy. His big deal was he liked wind and solar and things, but his biggest deal was the fact that if it was American, we need to be using it regardless of whatever it was, whether it was solar, wind, coal, oil, gas, all of these things to be used in a responsible manner to drive down the cost. In regard to the trade agreements, we don't need free trade. We need fair trade. I do think it's important to hammer out fair trade agreements, and the Panama and Colombia, South Korea are good examples of these. These would help our economy. The economy of China, the economy of India, Germany, these countries, is based on being able to export things. You know, they haven't become, you know, bigger economies based on selling within themselves. We have to have the attitude that 95% of our customers live someplace else, and we have to provide the tools for our manufacturers to be able to compete and sell products all over the world. Sadly, as you said, instead of doing that, you know, it's regulation after regulation. It's Obamacare. It's high energy prices. It's all of these things that are coming out that are actually making it more difficult to compete, and that makes it very, very tough on our manufacturers in order to be competitive in the rest of the world.
Yeah, and you know, I use myself as an example, Senator Bozeman. Since 1974, I've been in broadcast ownership, and I've bought and sold radio stations in several different states around the country. And in each succeeding year, the regulations and the laws and the I guess you could say the demands of the federal government on what we do became to the point that that it became more than oppressive. And it may be that I'm 65 now and I'm not as motivated as I once was, but there's no way I would go in business. It is so difficult today for a small businessman to make a profit that it's just not worth the money that you make to put up with what you have to put up with as a small businessman. And Congress certainly has not been open to responsive. I guess that's a better word. Haven't been responsive to those kind of situations.
Well, you're right, and again, this is not something that's come about, you know, just in the last 2 years. This has been a problem for several years, but it's much worse now, much, much worse. And so we have to push back. Your industry, as you say, is a great example. You've got a couple issues looming out there that really could make a huge difference, a huge impact on your industry in a very negative way. So as a result, as you don't know what the rules are going to be in the future, you know, and all of this stuff hanging over, the last thing anyone is going to do, regardless if they're making money or not making money, is run out and hire a bunch of people. So what we've got to do is put the confidence back such that people like yourselves, small business people, will have confidence to go out and actually start hiring people at some point.
Senator Bozeman, can you explain the so-called Buffett tax measure that's being talked about now?
Well, the yes and no. You know, the president has talked about that over the weekend, and he's going to put a plan out today, and I think it's going to be more of the same stuff. Most economists, in fact, I'd say the vast majority of economists right now, agree that raising taxes on anyone, you know, would not be a good idea. What the president has said in the past, and I think will be saying today, is those that are making $250,000 or more as a couple. Now, most of those, and I don't know how you file at the station or whatever. I know I'm an optometrist. We had 85 employees. We filed in such a way, you know, like a person would file.
That's exactly what I've done.
Exactly. Well, 60% of those making, you know, $250,000 or more are small businesses, and they're small businesses that are actually making it right now. So the idea of you know, taxing those entities, you know, and that somehow encouraging, you know, further job creation, these are the job creators, and so that would not be a good idea. I do agree that we need to get rid of the loopholes so that you have a GE, you know, perhaps individuals, you know, that are working the tax system in a negative way, you know, playing the loopholes such that they're able to dramatically decrease their taxes. I do think that we need to get rid of the loopholes, you know, and smooth things out. Now, if we do that, we can actually keep the same amount of money coming in and actually have the potential of lowering the rates on corporations, which would be a good thing in the sense that would make us more competitive overseas. and allow us a greater opportunity to sell to others as we lower their expenses.
Speaker Boehner is pushing for a rewrite of the tax code, and you know what? What's the pulse of the Senate on a total rewrite of the tax code? I don't see a real desire amongst the majority of Congress to do that. Certainly on the Democratic side, but you know, to do away with this burdensome, I don't know how many page tax code that we have. There's no way that the normal American can understand that tax code. Why not just do away with it and do something simple like a fair tax or a flat percentage or a sales tax type based economy? Why can't we do that? Why can't Congress get that done? Because it makes so much more sense than the conglomeration that we currently have in the country.
Well, you could do that. You know, you mentioned the fair tax. That is a national sales tax where you would eliminate the IRS, you know, eliminate the income tax and go to a national sales tax. You know, certainly that would be easy.
And it's also a way that you don't punish people for being good and earning money. You don't stifle their ability to do that. But everybody, including drug dealers, would have to pay tax. If they bought a new Cadillac Escalade, they'd have to pay tax to the federal government on it.
No, you're right. And you know, there's lots of ways to protect the lower income brackets with that. And then, you know, the other thing that's talked about is the just a flat tax, you know, where the government takes a certain percentage, period. You know, eliminates deductions for the most part. And then that's very easy to administer. And what people want when I visit with them, and I've visited all over the state, you know, for the last 10 years, essentially, especially the last 2 years throughout all of Arkansas, they want something that's fair and they want something that's simple. And what we have now is neither. The tax code picks winners and losers. And so I do think that there is a growing momentum that we need something that, meets that criteria. Eliminating the loopholes that we all agree, you know, again, Boeing shouldn't be allowed to make many billions of dollars and pay no taxes. So those are things that we have an opportunity to work on. We might not get this done this Congress, but I do think in the near future it's something that we have to address. It's one of those things that in order for our country to move forward and grow the economy, that we're going to have to make the tax code much, much simpler and again, much, much fairer.
One political question here: with the loss of the seat in what has been historically a Democratic seat in New York. In fact, former Senator Charles Schumer's congressional seat, and most recently held by Congressman Wiener, was taken in a fairly decisive way by a Republican recently. And, you know, to me, this bodes hope that perhaps the nation is tired of the path that we're on. The president's rating at a historic low of, his approval rating's like, 46%, 47%. Do you feel like that if we could get a solid majority of Republicans in the House and Senate in the 2012 elections, that we could move the nation ahead and get back to more common sense?
Well, I think that this election really was important in showing, much like the Scott Brown election in Massachusetts a few years ago, where you had the Kennedy seat when Senator Kennedy passed away going to a Republican. And I think it really illustrates how upset the people of America are with the direction of the country and just don't have a lot of confidence in the president. So I believe that if we could elect more conservatives in the Senate, maintain, you know, the conservatives in the House, that we would have a great opportunity to sort out some of these problems. And again, the good thing is that the American people, more than ever before, are paying attention because of shows like yours and other shows. Lots of information getting passed out. They're very, very knowledgeable. And so as a result, if we can get some more conservatives, that'll give us an opportunity. And then we're going to have to take advantage of that opportunity, or the American people are going to speak up again. They're just tired of the status quo, and we just simply cannot keep going down the path that we are. We've got to get some fiscal responsibility. The other thing is that I really do believe that it's a great opportunity for America, because when you look at the what's going on overseas, tremendous problems there. The whole world looks to us for leadership. If we will get our fiscal house in order, then we will be this tremendous magnet for investment and savings and this and that. We have the potential to be stronger than ever. And I believe that's what we're going to do. If we don't, though, Greece is in the news again today, and all of the calamities that are going on with Greece, and this now affecting Italy, Spain. They say that Italy and Spain are too big to fail, but they're too big to save. So these are really significant things. And so if we will lead, if we will do the things that we can do, and get ourselves back on a sound fiscal path, which I believe that we will do, then we have the potential to be stronger and greater than ever.
Well, I had become very pessimistic about our chances of getting that done. However, I'm beginning to become optimistic again as I see that even so-called liberal Democrats are still common sense. There are still some common sense people out there who do not want to see us continue down if not socialistic, and it's nothing that involves any kind of common sense. And I'm hopeful that the American public can see through that, and I'm hopeful that we can get back to some common sense thinking in Congress and move forward. I will say this, as we get ready to close here, Senator Bozeman, I want to say thanks to those of you up there who are willing to say no to this in spite of the fact that people are saying there could be political ramifications from saying no to the president. I think if the president wants to jump off the building and tell us that he's going to go up next time, and he continues to go down, I really appreciate the fact that the Republicans have held the line and continued to say no to stupidity.
No, the well, tell us what you really think. But you and your listeners are going to hear so much about the need to raise taxes and all of this stuff. Right now, we are spending about 25%, occupies about 25% of the gross domestic product. In other words, all the goods and services that are produced and things in the United States, we're 25% of that. Now, historically, it's been 19%. We're at the highest since World War II. And so, again, we've got to spend less and get ourselves back down to that 19%. And that's really what this battle is all about. Are we going to be the America that we've been in the past, or are we going to go towards this European socialist democracy, the nanny state that the president would like to push us into? And so there's a great battle going on right now as to the direction of the country. But I'm encouraged. I think that we are moving in the right direction. And, we'll have the opportunity, as I said, to get our fiscal house in order and be stronger than ever in the future.
Senator Bozeman, want to thank you so very much, as always, for taking out time to be on the program. And we really appreciate hearing from you and what's going on up there and what you're working on. And we appreciate the job that you do. And we just encourage you to keep moving ahead, and let's spend less than we take in, and get our budget balanced. And I think over the course of a few years, we can get it done.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Again, these are simple truths. You can't spend more than you have, things like that. Thank you very much.
Well, we really appreciate it. And again, we'll look forward to our next visit.
Thank you, sir.